Many of us have some wild and romantic ideas for what we'd like to happen to our remains after we die. Exhibit A, two men on a clifftop holding a large coffee tin.
Donnie was a good bowler and a good man. He was one of us. He was a man who loved the outdoors and bowling. And so, Theodore Donald Karabatsos, in accordance with what we think your dying wishes might well have been, we commit your final mortal remains to the bosom of the Pacific Ocean, which you loved so well. Good night, sweet prince.
That was John Goodman in The Big Lebowski, tipping his friend Donnie's ashes into the ocean. And if you've seen the film, it doesn't end well. Jeff Bridges winds up wearing the ashes after an unfortunate gust of wind. And in life, as in art, sometimes our own romantic plans are foiled by bureaucracy or practicality. But what if there was a burial option that was novel and romantic, but also doable? David Newstein says there is. David, welcome to Life Matters.
Thanks for having me. I love the Big Lebowski reference.
It's fantastic. Everyone in the office was very excited that we got to use that. Now, you're an architect by training, but you're also spearheading a new project that you says is going to, as you say, is going to reinvent the Australian cemetery landscape. That's very modest. Tell us about the burial belt.
Burial belt is an idea that our practice, other architects have been developing, that looks at how you could address the lack of burial space in Australian cities and the rapid deforestation of regional areas at the same time, with a big picture approach whereby natural burial is offered to people at a large scale, and the cost of burial is used to revegetate cleared land.
So you're basically looking at creating a corridor of forest on city fringes with little clearings where you could have burial plots.
Absolutely. The reason that we call the project Burial Belt is that we're imagining that if you implemented multiple burial areas in a line, you could effectively create a new green belt around our cities that was a source of fantastic amenity and a great carbon store, but also a way of constraining suburban sprawl.
Many, many questions spring to mind here. Let's start with perhaps the more nebulous and spiritual, and we'll move to the practical in a minute.
Terrific.
People are very attached to the idea that bodies should be put in cemeteries or cremated, but it sounds like the burial belt bypasses those assumptions. Do you think that's a bit of a challenge, that it's so unconventional?
Well, one of the there's an article that just came out in the Financial Review today, and Kevin Hartley, who's the founder of Earth Funerals, which is a natural burial company, was making a very good point, which is that at the moment most cemeteries are required to maintain their grounds in perpetuity. So basically, that's a terrible business proposition over time. The revenue they might get for burial over time, negligible compared to the infinite costs of looking after the land. It's a little bit like Donnie's ashes kind of coming back at you. So really what we're proposing is actually a burial space where the maintenance is taken care of, where the natural environment itself is something that can sustain itself over time. And the instead of having to come and lay flowers on a grave, the flowers are growing on the grave.
So let's go straight to the practical. How would you fund the purchase of this land? That is highly contested land around the city fringes for farming, but also housing. How are you going to convince governments or private investors to stump up the funds for that?
Yeah, that's a big call, isn't it? I think that what is definitely happening is there are definitely now natural burial grounds that are being planned in Australian cities. So we're effectively, the logic of the project is piggybacking off what's already happening. That there's a move towards this kind of cemetery mode. Now, can we expect that governments and local councils would support large-scale acquisition of land on the fringe that could be earmarked for further suburban development? That's a big leap, I think, in imagination. But really, we're looking at the fact that Australia has one of the highest rates of deforestation in the developed world. We're looking at the fact that livestock emissions are a huge contributor to carbon change, and we need to vary our diets to eat less meat. So this is putting a few of those factors together and trying to prompt bigger thinking. We really need larger solutions. And as it is, we haven't had proper planning around burial for, you know, well over a century. So there's big thinking here, but it also responds to big challenges.
Cremation is becoming hugely popular too. I think 70% of all interments now are cremations. What are the issues with focusing on cremation as an alternative to burial?
I think a lot of very reasonable people have moved towards cremation. They look at the ever-increasing cost of burial. There was an article from an urbis researcher last year that said that burial space is now the most expensive or the most lucrative land in Australia, which is extraordinary. They're faced with these major costs, and a lot of people have a perception that it's better to cremate because we're not using land, so therefore it's somehow more ecological. And they're quite surprised when I tell them that cremation is hugely energy intensive. It uses a lot of carbon. It releases metals and polluting gases into the atmosphere in concentrations that really aren't sustainable. So it's perceived as being a much sort of lighter option without the weight of the cemetery. And of course, you can scatter ashes in a beautiful landscape, or you can keep them in a place that's meaningful to you. But as it's become much more prevalent, the scale of pollution, the scale of energy use is obviously increasing all the time. So what we really need is a much lower impact solution. And I believe that natural burial is the best possible answer.
It wouldn't be a high density option though, would it? The concept is these beautiful belts of forest that would take quite a while to grow up, but there would be these clearings, small clearings, where you could put a few plots around the edge. You're not really replacing the scale of burial land needed, are you?
Well, I think that in this proposal, we can flip the paradigm. At the moment, cemetery operators, both public and private, are in a really difficult contest to try to find available land close to the city centre, and they're competing with all these other uses. And of course, local government, state government are often involved because there are all kinds of concerns about cemeteries, and there are also all kinds of other interests in the mix. So it's become a really vexed problem. A lot of, in New South Wales, the legislation was fairly recently changed to allow for renewable tenure burial to try to make it a leasehold system rather than a perpetual one.
It's an unpopular system, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be a real challenge to convince people who already want to be buried and buried, laid to rest, if you like, that they're going to be kind of nudged and disturbed after a certain period of time. But certain communities will opt for that. The issue, basically, what we're trying to do is flip that all around. So instead of instead of vying over increasingly scarce land that therefore is increasingly costly, that we look further out. And it's a little bit like, you can imagine, organ donation. That was a very controversial idea not so long ago. You might be donating your body to an area outside the city that really could use some regeneration, and you know that there'll be a legacy then. When you are buried, you will also be helping to repair the environment.
One of our listeners has texted in, burial belt or bushfire belt? And I guess it raises the question of maintenance, because there's the fire risk issue outside a lot of cities around Australia, but there's also the issue of water. I mean, a forest takes a massive amount of water to grow. Is it going to be feasible in all places?
Well, that's a great question. And there are lots of challenges and issues like that are inherent in the idea. Bushfire is a question predominantly of maintenance and how the land is managed, and having an active revenue through burial enables the cost of regular maintenance, regular care for the environment. But also, we've seen research that revegetating areas, that creating more trees, that lowering the land temperature helps a lot in prompting rainfall and in retaining water. So actually, by revegetating cleared land, we think it will have a hugely positive impact on the amount of water that's available in those landscapes.
And it's a beautiful idea. There's lovely drawings of these little paths into the forest and this tranquil little area in a kind of semicircle with a few graves kind of socketed into the actual greenery. And it's part of a growing trend towards natural burial, which you mentioned before. What makes a burial natural per se?
Thanks for asking that. I think I should probably clarify that. So natural burial, unlike traditional burial, there's no embalming for a start, and there's no coffin. And then because there's no coffin, there's no need for a grave liner or the normal foundations, the concrete shaft as it is today that goes into the ground.
I didn't even know that was a thing. So describe that for people.
So when you go to a modern cemetery, what you'll see is a grid of concrete, because because land is so scarce, we're burying people as close together as we possibly can. And because that land has to be maintained in perpetuity, cemetery operators have have basically concreted the ground so that there's no disturbance, there's no subsiding, because of course that causes huge issues. And then it's also a way of creating a solid foundation for the memorial or headstone that goes at the head of the grave. So natural burial does away with all of those things. It does away with the hardscaping, the tarmac or concrete pathways that you will find in a normal cemetery. It tries to minimize the amount of space that's given over for parking and things like that. So really it's you're on the ground, you're in the ground. It's using the natural features of the landscape rather than imposing a constructed landscape on top of it.
Do you not need to get an earth mover in there to dig the graves and have the access issues that presents?
There are definitely options there. Some natural burial operators will have an earth mover, but another aspect of natural burial is you don't want to bury people quite so deep. So you can use things like meshes to keep out burrowing animals, but you want to bury people closer to the surface, about half the depth of a normal burial, because that's where all the action is in the soil. That's where the microbes are. That's where there's lots of insects. That's where things grow. So basically, if we want to be returned to the earth, we have to be buried a little bit closer to the surface where the earth is most active.
We're chatting with David Newstein, an architect and associate at the School of Architecture at the University of Technology in Sydney, about the idea of a burial belt, a corridor of reforestation in patches around the outside of our cities, where you could have little plots of graves that are natural burials. And I'd like your thoughts on that too. What would you like to happen to your body after you die? Do you feel there are enough options out there? You can send us a message via our Facebook page. David, I'm getting the impression that there's a lot of interest from the public in things like natural burials and upright burials and different ways of doing things, returning ourselves to the natural environment, but the industry hasn't really kept up.
I think there are good reasons for that. One of the major changes that's happened in the last few decades is that larger cemetery trusts have been asked to take on custodianship of aging and historic cemeteries. So they have a very complex mandate now to maintain loved and treasured historic cemeteries forever, and they have to then tailor their operations towards that. I think that the other main driver is, as people have increasingly opted for cremation, they've left really a sort of traditional group, if you like, who are the main demographic for burial. And so most cemeteries are catering mostly for those traditional groups. And I think the other part of that is really just that we haven't yet, it's happened in the UK a lot. There's a lot of fantastic natural burial grounds, but because we haven't seen a lot of dedicated natural burial grounds in Australia, there's not yet the public interest in that. And I think that really the purpose of our project is to show people what's possible and to help to popularise this idea, because I think that the response that we've mostly had is that people, when presented with the idea of being buried with a tree in a landscape, it's something that seems very natural, and they're quite surprised really that it's not more widespread.
We might wait and see if there's a groundswell of support for alternative burial options. David Newstein, thank you so much for explaining the burial belt to us today.
A pleasure. Thanks for having me.
David's an architect and associate at the School of Architecture at the University of Technology in Sydney. Love to hear your thoughts on this one. It's a big one, isn't it? But one that we often don't like to think about. I'm Hilary Harper. You're listening to Life Matters.